nine people attending, as well as the rest of us here that are supposed to be doing official stuff. So I'm going to call this meeting to order. And Haley, if you would, we're not doing the Pledge of Allegiance today, but considering what is happening here in the U.S. of A. with regard to Mother Nature and everything like that, I just like to reference the beauty of nature that surrounds us despite what she's going through right now as a result of, let's say, our human actions. So we have the first lyrics there from Woody Guthrie's song, This Land Is Your Land. So if we don't mind, we'll just, those of out there in the viewing audience, or if you can remember it and you're listening, just join with me, please. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. Thank you, Haley. It appears as if we have a quorum. Thank you for everyone being here. Mr. Carmel, do we have a report from closed session, please?
Thank you, President Farmer. The board discussed labor negotiations with the management and confidential group and the performance of the general manager and related compensation issues, but there's no formal action to report.
All right. Thank you very much. Do we have an agenda review, any deletions, any additions that anyone would like to bring forward? Seeing none, let's move forward to item number two and the commission report. And Mr. Niffen, it'd be nice to see you in a moment now.
There he is.
There you go, Steve.
How are you guys? Hello, Steve. So I was just going to kind of dispense with my report because I thought we were probably going to end up touching on all of it in the agenda item. The agenda item is the skate park specific.
Well, the agenda item, if you're referring to 4A, it's as much about the community park as well as the skate park and the trails, recreational trails and bicycle trails. I think all of those.
I'm gonna dispense with my report and just wait till then. If you just, you know, give me a couple of minutes when we start that, I'll hammer on it and get through it, I think.
All right, Steve. I think everyone's in agreement with that. Okay. Correct, the board members? So with that, let's move on to public comment. Haley, I don't see any hands up. Has anybody sent in any written public comment, Haley?
I don't have any public comments to read at this time, and I don't see any members of the public wishing to speak.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Haley. So let's just move further on to regular business in record time. And item 4A, and General Manager Weigold.
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 4A is discussion and consideration regarding the proposed project recommendations. Approval to proceed with community park restroom design and adoption of resolution 49-2020, which amends the fiscal year 2020-2021 budget. Staff's recommending that the board discuss those items and adopt a resolution. The budget amendment is requested to reflect the awarded and accepted San Luis Obispo County Beautification and Infrastructure Grant, or BIG grant. So that we have three items bundled in here. My recommendation is that the board consider the budgeted amendment and adjustment and resolution first, and direct staff to proceed with the community park restroom design before it moves on to discussion regarding the PROS commission recommendations for future projects.
All right. Well, thank you, General Manager Weigold. I see Finance Manager Duffield is also on this item, but if you don't have any comments to make, Pam, perhaps we can now go directly to Mr. Niffen and have him discuss this item with a little more information for us.
And President Farmer, we do have one public comment, it looks like, for this item with a hand raised.
Okay, so let me see if I can cut through the chase. The $20,000 that we're talking about is money that we got in a grant from the county, the beautification grant, to assist in the design with the bathroom project on the East Ranch in accordance with the long-term plan of putting active recreation there. So that's where we're at with that. We got the $20,000. It's now in the budget. We want to use that money to work with Civil Design so that they can lay out the plan and what it is that we're actually going to do and can do on that project. We were going to appoint an ad hoc committee of Mr. Beringer and Kermit Johansson to help keep an eye on, oversee, participate, be the liaison between Civil Design and the CCSD and the pros in regards to the development of that design. So we're asking permission, I guess, for the ad hoc committee, if we may, or we've already done it if we had your permission and we didn't know that. And the $20,000, up to $20,000 on the design of it, that's part of the ramifications of what Jim and Kermit will be working with. And so that all seems really simple. Boom, here we go. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is the allocation of water for the restroom, whether or not that's okay and whether or not it fits the parameters of the way the EIR was designed. That's a larger conversation than I really think that we need to have here now, because there's pros and cons on both sides and we can go down that rabbit hole. What we are hoping is that the $20,000 that we're using with Civil Design is we'll get a definitive answer on what it is that can and cannot be there with the county, with lawyers, and with where we're at. So that's kind of how that particular aspect of the project sits within my little pea brain. There you go.
All right, well, thank you, Steve.
And I have more on other aspects of other projects, but that's this particular one.
All right, thank you, Steve. Any members of the board have any brief comments with regard to what Steve just said before I go to public comment? Yes, Director Pearson.
Oh, I didn't think I was first, but that's okay. I think we should move ahead with this. And is Civil Design a licensed architecture firm or whatever that's needed to give us a design that can go out to bid, Steve?
Well, not that I'm the professional guy to answer that question. He was more not necessarily going to design it, but help us find a prefabbed one or one that's already that would fit that project, if that makes sense. And they may be architectural. I don't know, but they do work with Firma and Mr. Foote, and so they have a lot of history on the project. That's what makes us comfortable with using them. Mr. Weingel may be able to answer that deeper.
All right. Mr. Weingel, I don't know if you want to respond right now. Let me go to Director Rice, and if you had your hand up first, my apologies, I didn't notice.
Well, I'd like to make my comments after I hear the public comments. Thank you.
All right. All right, so Haley, why don't we go directly to public comment?
Excuse me, President Farmer. I've had my hand up from the beginning. I'd like to speak, please.
All right. I don't want to be weird behind it, but it's a lot easier for me to notice it if people just raise their hand so I can see it on the screen.
That's what I did three times.
What I mean is where we can go down to the bottom and raise our hand, although I'm looking there and I can't even see that myself. So my apologies. Go right ahead, Vice President Steidel.
The recommendation that the GM had made was for us to take the action that requires consideration here, which is just to move this $20,000 into the budget. And that's an administrative action, and it's something that we can do, and it's something we can do immediately. And I think that it needs to be addressed first, that the conversations that we've got going on are, it could be rather protracted. And I don't want to lose sight of the fact that that $20,000 is in the bank, but it's not in the budget, and we need to move it into the budget. And that's what this particular action is for. That's what the resolution 49-2020 is. And I would suggest that the board really needs to address that first in the way that the GM had suggested. And Ms. Duffield, if I'm misspeaking, please say something.
All right. Well, Ms. Duffield, I see that you do have your hand up, but you just shook your head, no comment for Vice President Steidel. Since Director Rice wishes to hear first from, yes, Ms. Duffield.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I don't have a comment. I was agreeing with Vice President Steidel. Yes, we do need that budget adjustment approved, but I really just wanted to respond quickly to Director Pearson's question. And Civil Design Studios, I have their proposal right here back from 2019, June of 2019, when they helped prepare the proposal that was submitted with the grant application. And they are a civil engineering, planning, and permitting company. Those are the services that they offer. So since they say civil engineering, I would assume they are registered engineers, because you usually don't use that terminology if you're not.
Well, thank you, Ms. Duffield, for that clarification. Why don't we now go to public comment? And Haley, would you please call on Ms. Bettenhausen, please?
Sure. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dawson and President Farmer. As you know, Board, I sent you an email this morning rather late for you to look at, so I want to affirm what I sent. I sent you an email which said, as you consider item 4A today, and specifically, I want to parenthetically add now, as Vice President Steidel has pointed out, this is primarily about shifting the $20,000 in the budget, but I want to say something about that. So as you consider this item and the community park restroom on the East Ranch in particular, I request that you keep in mind, one, the East-West Ranch Public Access and Resource Management Plan, and I give you the page where the reference is, begins. Number two, the Exhibit A Fiscalini Ranch Preserve EIR and Revised Community Park Plan. And there you will find out that it says a waterless self-contained restroom. Number three, Exhibit B, Statement of Findings, Fiscalini Ranch Preserve Master EIR and Revised Community Park Plan. And it talks again, there will be no potable water used in this toilet or elsewise. And so if the rules and regulations that are posted now on the CCSD website contain more recent information than this, I would be grateful if that were posted. But I want to say that I think the $20,000 should be contingent upon detailed, careful, specific following of what's already been adopted as policy for the Fiscalini Ranch East Ranch Preserve East Ranch. It is important to keep paying attention to these conservation and preservation documents the boards have adopted, so we know what the standard is that will be followed. I listen to the whole PROS Commission meeting. There was a great long discussion about the skate park, which is important. The other two items in the projects had no discussion whatsoever. They were not even called up. So I suggest to you that it is useful to you in your agenda to consider the $20,000. If you amend the resolution to say explicitly that the EIR and the management plan have to be followed for the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. And otherwise, if you want to take up the other projects, it would be fascinating to listen to you discuss where there's very little description other than the map of the skate park, which suggests that the area is slightly smaller, but not much, than the city of Cayucas. Thank you.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bettenhausen. Let me step back now to Director Rice, since I don't see any other hands up with regard to public comment, and you wish to wait and to make your remarks after public comment. So if I'm okay to call on you now, Director Rice.
Thank you, President Farmer. So it seems to me, based on the answer I got from Ms. Duffield and Mr. Niffen, that we chose this firm because they're related to Firma, who did the original design for the district. Is that the case? Like, we're going to hire them to essentially shepherd us through the permitting process on getting a bathroom put in on the East Ranch. Mr. Weigel, did you want to answer that?
Yeah, I would just say this, in my mind, this is only one bid, and it's from a civil engineering firm, not a design firm. So more homework is required before we proceed with design and selection of a design firm.
Okay, so there's a few things I know just from being part of the board over the years, and it is helpful to have somebody lead that permitting process and look at those things. Steve, did you want to respond to that?
Well, I want to respond by saying I'm overmatched for these questions. Do you know what
okay.
I'm saying? Meaning yes. I completely have an opinion of what's going on as to my historical approach to why we're here right now, whether right. it's real or not to everybody else. I'm like, we've been looking for someone to give us an answer whether or not we can use water in a bathroom on that property, and we're not getting an answer, and we didn't have any money to get a plan. And I found 20 grand sitting in the county in San Luis, and they gave it to us, and they said, there you go, design a bathroom. Somebody needs to say yes or no so that we can have a facility there so that we can start playing, because we can't play there until there's a facility there. That's kind of where my frustration lies. Thank you.
I hear you. So it'll be important to get from them what we're going to get at the end of the $20,000 expenditure, so that we know whether we're going to have 10% design and whether we're going to have just basically have somebody on board to help us determine what's actually feasible now with the new rules and regulations and the EIR.
Yeah, if I may be so bold, as we, Kermit Johansson, that sits on the PROS Commission, is really good. He knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff about that. And we've looked at a lot of options. We're pretty assured that our option is a prefab bathroom by one of the reputable companies, because they can meet all the ADA requirements and all the cockamamie right. things you got to have going on right now. We said, oh, let's just use the old bathroom design we have for the downtown bathrooms. But they're prehistoric. Even bringing them up to date would Bill say. So we're pretty assured that purchasing a kit, a situation that goes in a restroom facility, is the way to go. That's why we found ourselves here. We want to make sure Civil Design says, yeah, that's the best way to go. That's your option.
I just have a few more questions that may not have answers at this point, but when I listened to the meeting from 2009, and I have to say, Steve, your comments during that meeting were awesome. I actually wrote down the quote you said. You got to know where you come from, you got to know where you are, and you got to know where you're going. At the time in 2009, we definitely seemed to know where we were headed, and the board had several strong opinions about things. As far as there's two things that to me we need to keep in mind about what's in the EIR. That EIR was done before we had the non-potable water source down near you know, that was in SR3, SR1, we rebuilt that treatment plant. So water for irrigation for the longer term parts of the, you know, the later phases of the project don't necessarily have to be trucked from San Simeon Wellfield, which was the proposed source of irrigation water. And possibly we could be using, since we don't need potable water for flush toilets, we would need dual plumbing if we wanted to have sinks in there too. But I don't think that that's a bad option to look at whether it's possible, because composting toilets or pit toilets or whatever that's in the EIR as part of mitigation for the water consumption, potential water consumption of the larger park, they need a lot of maintenance, and there may be newer technologies than what was in that 2009 report. I mean, I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it, but I mean, it, having a little bit of water and knowing we've got that non-potable well there that we rehabilitated during the drought so we could, you know, give away water for landscaping, that may reduce the number of complications related to getting irrigation water out there. I also commend you the amount of time and effort and years that have gone into doing this, because even in 2009, people were saying you've been doing this forever, Steve. So I really appreciate you continuing to shepherd this project forward and try and enact a vision of the board that was put into place a long, long time ago. So I very much appreciate that. There's the question about the current school leadership supporting the field. In 2009, we had Chris Adams come and talk about cooperations. And do we have an update kind of where we are with this in relation to cooperating with the schools?
I guess my optimistic view would be that we have less kids playing. That's why there's not this huge need to build the fields at the park right now. And the schools have been a little bit more forthcoming in using of their fields with the kids. So there's some balance of what's going on. Yeah. That's why even if the community said, hey, we don't want to put a bathroom out there with water and we went with a pit toilet, we still need that because we have plans for an activities right. trails. We want to use that property for active recreation. Even if it's 10 instead of 100, it still needs a facility.
Yeah, agreed. And I just want to bring up one more piece of history, because you've been around even longer than I've been around on these things. And that ingress and egress on Rodeo Grounds Drive and the potential of us needing to an emergency vehicle access, because once we put a bathroom down there, it seems like even just the liabilities with the dog park might become greater. So, I mean, and I don't know about safety and life. I mean, there's just a lot of questions that I really want to be sure that we're covering. I seem to recall we did some surveying for grading and drainage to make it more flat for the fields. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I encourage everybody to go down there and stand far away. You watch, they spent $350,000 to literally right. change the land. So when the water goes off of the dog park, it goes back towards the hill, it goes into the thing. All the water that comes off Lodge Hill now is all percolated kind of out. So there's advantages to what it was. Even if we didn't do another thing down there, we still did the right thing with that piece of property for the future, I think.
We're moving forward already. We've already done some things to put the fields in place.
Yeah, it's there. The bathrooms are kind of up.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you answering those questions. I'm done for now.
Well, thank you both for your comments. Director Pearson, you also wish to make a comment, as does Director Howell. We'll go to you, Don, afterward.
Thank you, President Farmer. It sounds to me like we're approving the $20,000 to let this firm go ahead and figure out exactly what we need and what we can do and what kind of bathroom we need. And then they're going to come back with Moster Johansson, I hope, and kind of tell us, okay, this is our recommendation on what you do. And if it's kind of a prefab thing, I think that design takes a back seat to just getting permitted. So we could get this firm to move to the point where they come back to us and say, all right, here's our recommended solution for you for a bathroom out there. And this is what it's going to, you know, ballpark cost you. And then we can move forward. So I'm good with moving forward and doing this $20,000 for this firm, as long as they come back and they're going to tell us what their recommendation is. And I imagine that's what Mr. Niffin's idea is.
All right. Thank you, David. Director Howell.
Oh, thank you. Just a couple of things. It seems to me that the resolution itself simply approves the budget adjustment. It doesn't say anything about restrooms or anything actually about how that $20,000 is supposed to be used. So my question, and I don't have the answer, so I'm asking the folks here, has this board or any previous board officially said that a restroom, in other words, I know this is coming from the PROS Commission, but has the board actually taken any official action regarding putting a restroom on that property? That's just a question. But having said that, I'm certainly not averse to this project going forward, but it does concern me that there's no, unless it's somewhere else, and that's why I asked the question, unless there's somewhere else where there has been direction to PROS to pursue the project of getting a restroom on that property. If we haven't given PROS that direction, I think we probably need a resolution to do that as well. Otherwise, what's the $20,000 for? If it's just, anyway, you get my point there. I just like some to be educated on that a little bit, because I'm a little puzzled. The other thing I would like to say is it does seem reasonable, and I would ask Mr. Niffin and the ad hoc as they go forward, whatever design or whatever firm is engaged, that they do at least examine the possibility of a waterless facility there. It should at least be examined, even if it can be demonstrated that it's not feasible. But we need to look at it. That as a water board, that is something that we need to do, because we are sitting, we're telling everyone else that we're running out of water, and now we're going to approve a restroom that's going to use how much water? It's not a reasonable approach. At least we need to at least look at the possibility. Having said that, I'll shut up. But I would appreciate an answer to that question. Has there been any official action regarding restrooms?
General Manager Weigold and then Director Rice.
Sure. So not to get, I would implore the board not to get too wrapped up in what we're doing here. We're only approving the budget adjustment for the $20,000, which means we accept the grant. The grant is only for the design of a restroom. It doesn't mean we're going to go ahead and build anything. You may decide after you get the design back that the design comes in at too much money and we decide not to go that far. This is only for a design at this point. The design firm has yet to be chosen. We have to have designs that are ready for the
John, permitting you're process. Muted. All right, you cut out there for a minute.
Okay, sorry, can you hear me now? So the firm that we have a bid on is a civil engineering firm. They don't do design. So that means we have to go find another firm to do the design.
Civil engineers are allowed to do design as long as they have a license to do design. They may have to hire an architect to work for them. But I was on numerous projects where the design was done by engineers and the architect just took care of the building, because the building didn't have to look pretty. You know?
No, that's correct. What we need to verify then is the design above and beyond the 20,000. And I got to make sure that, you know, we're doing this per our purchase agreement. So I got to work with our district council a bit on this to make sure we're in line. So we got that bid simply in order to get a number to apply for the grant and to submit that. So we're here today really just to make the budget adjustment to accept that grant, which if we accept it, we're moving forward with design. Otherwise, we have to return that grant. But we're not going any further than the design. And my my plan is to understand through the design firm all these answers of what can and can't be done in line to get a permit. So my plan is to have options for you on combined potable, non-potable, all these issues we can include in that design. But we're not going to go forward with building until you say so.
You know, I just want to briefly comment. We have the three people with their hand up, as well as a member of the public. But David, I just want to mention that at the PROS meeting on Tuesday, Monty Soto, who is the civil engineer that is involved with this, he did make mention of the fact that he's not an architect. And just to kind of clarify what you were saying, and that we need an architect as well as, you know, his input. So anyway, Vice President Steidel, you wanted to make a comment, and then we'll go to Director Rice. And at some point, now we have two people in the public that wish to make a comment. So after the two remarks from the board, let's do that, please.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to note that the actual proposal that came to us from Civil Design Studio was just a lump sum amount of $20,000 for time and material, and it was described as project management. So I do feel that there needs to be additional definition of the expectations and work content that's going to be done on this, so we can determine how payment happens and whether payments being made against actual deliverables that are being provided to us as any normal contract would. So I don't know if that just means that we need an updated estimate from Civil Design Studio, or whether we need actually a new proposal from them. And I don't know, between GMY Gold and District Council, they should be able to determine that. I don't need an answer on it right now. I just wanted to put that out there as a point to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Steidel. Director Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Weingold, for mentioning you're going to bring back options for the board rather than just one thing to recommend. It gives us a chance to, you know, at least have two different options to consider. So I do appreciate that. In terms of Don's question, Director Howell's question, the restroom is in the community park plan EIR and in the design, and it's actually listed as being 2 years, which this came out in 2009. So it's something that's been overdue, and I'm sure Steve can say so, for quite a while. The board did direct at that point, and various things have happened in the meantime to prevent us from actually moving forward on it, including not having money to do so. I do also want to say that in the EIR and in the presentation that happened in 2009, there are a number of agencies that we will have to work with other than just the county planning department to get the permit, which is why you would maybe want to spend a couple dozen thousand dollars on somebody to manage the project, because they do the things of looking into which agencies have to be consulted and who needs to make sure they're informed. And you've got somebody that's kind of the point person for all the detail. And I think that that's a good approach to take right now, considering our admin staff is already overworked with their workload. And the PROS Commission, and I'm so glad to hear we have an ad hoc committee that's going to be working with them, project manager, on this. But I agree with Vice President Steidel. We do need to have some idea of what's the deliverable. How long is the project management for $20,000 offered, and what is included as a project management? It might be the case that a lot of agencies they work with, people have an understanding of what project management means and what's included. But our board doesn't have the experience and or expertise or whatever. I mean, I don't know either. So, you know, it's not like a necessarily a well-known thing. So I think having a project manager is one way to ensure that it doesn't get dropped again, and it continues to move forward in an effective, efficient way.
Thank you, Director Rice. Let's. I know I want to go to the public here, but since we have two folks on the board, one and staff, Director Howe, why don't you make a brief comment, and then General Manager Weigel, and then we'll finally go to public comment.
Okay. Thank you, Director Rice, for answering my question. So approving that this is actually just adding on to previous activities at moving forward. So it has been the board's decision that probably a restroom should go there. So we don't have to renegotiate that. At least I don't intend to. I would assume that the PROS ad hoc would be working with Mr. Weigold in terms of locating the appropriate consulting people and as we go forward in this. So I think we may be putting the cart a little before the horse in some of our discussions here. It sounds to me that most, I can't speak for the public, of course, but most of my concerns are being addressed. The fact that there's no mention in the resolution itself about a restroom doesn't bother me, as long as we are aware that this is an understood situation and it is simply following up on previous board actions. So I don't have a problem there. Therefore, I move that we adopt Resolution 49-2020.
Well, Don, before we do that, we still have...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. That is definitely in order.
Second.
Okay. We do have members of the public that do want to comment.
Is there a second?
Well, we have...
I seconded.
Thank you.
So not to appear ignorant here, should I call for a roll call vote now, legal counsel, or can we continue with getting other comment?
I think if there's still public comment, Baranek requires that it be made before or during consideration of the item. And I think if you take action on the resolution, that won't be the case. So I think you need to take it now.
Take the vote now?
No.
Take public comment. That's what I thought you meant. Okay. So Haley, if you would call on the members of the public that wish to speak, please.
Sure. The first member of the public that wishes to speak is Crosby and Laura Swartz. Crosby and Laura, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay. Thank you. Crosby Swartz, Cambria. I just had a comment for the consideration of the board and the PROS Commission. Designing and installing a state-of-the-art restroom is not a problem that's unique to Cambria. There's a number of other agencies that have recently done this locally. You certainly need to look at those. In fact, I would recommend one, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo just installed a state-of-the-art restroom down at the Pismo Preserve. And you can go in there at any time and look at it. I don't know, I've been there, I don't recall to the extent to which it's waterless or not, but it's certainly a state-of-the-art facility put in by a group that's very conscious of the environment and water use. So you want to make sure that at least somebody in the PROS Commission goes down to look at that and possibly contacts the Land Conservancy to find out who designed it and who built it. So we're not inventing a new thing here. This is commonly done. Thank you.
Thank you, Crosby. Haley, you have another public comment?
Yes, the next member of the public that wishes to speak is Claudia Harmon. Claudia, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I have one thing that was discussed at the PROS meeting a month or so ago was getting three bids. I think it's the proper thing to do, and Mr. Weigold agreed with that, and now I hear that you're just going to ask for one company to give you this bid on for the $20,000 on a design. This is inappropriate. It's just the wrong thing to do. So you really need to have three different people giving you bids on this. You might find somebody who can do it for less money or more money or whatever, but you have not even looked at that. I'd like to know a couple of things. I think you can't answer these, but as you're going through this, what about the homeless issue and vandalism there? Are the restrooms going to be locked all the time, except for when you're having physical activities there of some sort? Is it going to be open for the people with their dogs? And if that happens, then you're going to have problems with them vandalizing the equipment. I'm an interior designer, so I have a lot of ideas about, you know, the type of materials you can use to help with that, things that will that are very vandalism proof. There's types of materials that can be used to help with that. I do agree with the waterless urinals and low flow toilets. The best thing to do, which they do in a lot of parks, is that they do like composting toilets. And there is no reason why you can't do that. If you're gonna spend $250,000 on a toilet facility, there's no reason why you can't use composting toilets. They work very well. They've been around for a long time. Another thing is that one of the directors said something that they flattened the land out and that didn't cause any problem. It made it better. Carlos Mendoza and I were talking about what it did to the environment there. It scraped all of that habitat away from the animals and they came back and they were looking for their home and had been scraped away. I'm concerned about the fact that you're going to put a restroom in and you have no idea when you're going to put a ball field in there. I understand ball fields are very expensive. I know you can't put lights out there, but are you planning on putting lights on the restroom? And if you do, they need to be dark sky friendly. Let's see. And the Land Conservancy Prismo Preserve toilet, I think, is a standard toilet. I think you need to be looking at toilets that are waterless urinals and composting toilets. There's nothing weird about them. They've been doing it for a long time. It's the right thing to do at that location, and it'll help be much cheaper because you don't have to bring in all of the plumbing that I think that's what Monty's group is doing. So I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. We have one more member of the public to speak, Haley.
Yes, Kitty Connolly. Kitty, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi everyone. It's been a long time since the EIR was made, but I do, so there has been a lot of change in technology for waterless facilities. But as someone has pointed out, there's also been changes to the site that there's now non-potable water available. I'm really encouraged by what John said about having the contractor look at all the options and present the options to PROS, because I feel like this is an opportunity for us to be modern in Cambria, as well as create something that's a facility that people actually want to use. So I do believe that there's a market for the toilet right now with the dog park. So there's already a need. And we see a lot of people taking exercise on the East Ranch. So there's currently, I would say, some demand for the toilet. So I don't, although it would open up an opportunity for developing the rest of the community park, which I think is a great idea, it could be used immediately. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Kitty. Let's bring it back to the board here. Director Rice.
I do tend to agree with Ms. Connolly about new technologies and trying to get something that's maybe even you know, better than just a pit toilet, for so to speak, but does not use very much water. As far as waterless urinals, we should already have those installed at the vets hall and anywhere else we have public facilities, because that's, I mean, that's the standard that's going in Pismo Beach these days. So I think we shouldn't be afraid of new technologies when we do this. I want to go again through what I think this is that we're the $20,000 if we pass the resolution that I seconded, that Dawn made. What my understanding is, if this is $20,000 for project management, is what we're getting is somebody who's a professional, somebody who's familiar with the project that was developed back in the day by David Foote and Firma, and that we're not going to come out of this $20,000 process with an actual architectural design, possibly, but we are going to come out of it with at least a couple of options for how do we best address putting restrooms on the East Ranch. That's my understanding. If that needs to be corrected, I would like to hear that before I take a vote on anything, whether it's the ranch or not. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Director Rice. General Manager Weigold?
Yeah, so I wanted to clear this up, especially for Director Rice's question and a little bit for Director Howell. So the use of this grant is very specific. It's to come up with construction plans used for permitting process. The bid that we got is from a project manager. I just reread his bid, which he will only coordinate design. He will not come up with the design. So we cannot use him for this grant. So,
oh yeah, that guy was so sweet on the phone. He's like, I'm waving at you from across the street. Yeah, he's
such a sweet guy. Where's that?
Earlier, Mike, hot mic there. So again, we have to follow our purchasing policy to find a design firm that can come up with plans that meet the requirements of the grant. And as far as the requirements go, there's some questions from the public, a lot of questions in there. Those will all be built into this. So there's some homework to be done. I would expect that a design firm we select would be familiar with the local code and the requirements of the ranch, or else we won't choose them.
All right. Thank you, John. Steve, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, not that I understand. So we keep saying a design firm, but if we bought a prefab design, isn't that the design firm and the architect? They're designing the building. We're just slapping down a slab and dropping this building on it. Yeah, John, you want more from me? That's it. I'm just like, no, I feel like we got the grant from the county, which was pretty loosely written, and I know that because I wrote it, and I just said we're having trouble trying to design these toilets, and Gibson's group said, yeah, there's $20,000. Try to start this process, get it going. I don't know that it necessarily meant we were going to have a design company firm, you know, I don't know. I'm not very smart right now. I'm feeling long.
You're doing fine, Steve. Haley, I see we have a couple of more comments from the public. I know Claudia is up. Excuse me.
Point of order, sir, yeah. President Farmer. We've already taken public comment on this item. I appreciate you want to involve the public, and if you want to call on those people, it's your prerogative, but I just wanted to call point of order on it.
I understand. David, it looked like you had your hand up there, at least physically.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, this is getting to be a conversation with the public, and that's not supposed to happen. We're elected officials that are supposed to, you know, do the work of the people. And I think we're doing a good job of that. I think we got some comments from them, and we appreciate that. But I think this is far simpler than it's getting to be. And I think we have a motion to, to spend the $20,000 to move forward, and we have to put this in the capable hands of the general manager and the PROS Commission and have them do what they need to do and bring it back to us.
All right. So I just want to make an observation, and I see Director Howell also has his hand up. We have a number of people in attendance that I believe are here strictly for the skate park, including someone representative, I believe, from Portland with regard to folks that design skate parks. So if we go ahead and we make this vote right now on, you know, adopting the agreement for the $20,000, how do we deal with the people that wish to speak exclusively on the skate park? I'll just ask legal counsel, once we vote on this agenda item, how do we incorporate what it is they'd like to comment on into this item before we move on? Or do we?
Thank you, President Farmer. I think this item consists of actually three different items, and I think the focus of this discussion really has been on the funding component on the budget amendment. Right. And so I think with regard to that issue, you've taken public comment, it's come and it's gone. I think there's probably going to be a subsequent discussion regarding the skate park itself, and perhaps at that time you can take public comment on that issue. I think the concern is normally public entities take public comment on items all at one time, and it's clear to the public that that's their time to speak. We sometimes allow it to sort of slip along with the discussion, and I think that's where the problem is. In this particular item, though, I understand the concern because they're not really related. The funding is not related to the skate park directly, so I think that would be permissible. That's just my opinion there. Hope that helped.
All right, thank you. So, Haley, why don't you go ahead and read the motion. We'll vote on that, and then if I understand this correctly, we'll get some comment from the public and from the board with regard to the skate park. I hope that makes sense. Haley, if you would go ahead to read the motion and take a vote, please.
Sure. Director Howell moved approval to proceed with the park design and adopt the resolution.
Okay, and we have a motion and a second, so Let's take a vote, please.
Okay, Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. So if we could just move forward here and have a discussion with regard to the skate park, and I know there's number of folks out there, like I said, in the public. Does anyone on the board wish to make any comments on the skate park, some of the design that we see here included, and then we'll go to public comment? Anybody on the board want to make a comment ahead of time? Yes, General Manager Weigold.
Yes, President Farmer. I was just going to simply make a recommendation to perhaps have Steve Niffen review the various projects that he's recommending and perhaps discuss a priority order to those, and then perhaps have a discussion on each of those projects at which time you could bring in the skate park folks that are interested in talking about that particular project.
All right, thank you. It seemed like Steve was trying to get his hand raised there. So, Steve, go right ahead with your comments.
Well, no, it was more in regards to the specificness of the skate park and not necessarily the list of projects, which, you know, quite frankly, we were pretty focused on the skate park and the bathroom, the walking track around the exercise track is, you know, after the bathrooms. And, you know, we like the idea of the soccer basketball thing, if that's an option somewhere in town too. But the real discussion comes to the skate park. And when we start focusing on that discussion, it gets us also back in the same Cambria discussion. What can we do with that piece of property and what is it? So now we've got the skate park, right? We're going along. We're like, all right, let's design the skate park. Well, who's going to tell us what can be on the skate park land? And when you look at that plot map, it starts to be another rat's nest of Cambrian-ness too, that's never been surveyed or where it's at or if it's got the thing. So we all, now this is another little caveat. It seems, tell me if I'm wrong, we've been budgeted $20,000 earlier in the fiscal year. So it's in there. It was for the design and the help of the skate park. There wasn't 17. Carlos said at the last PROS meeting that we had money set aside for something in the PROS budget yet, and that we were going to use some of that to assist in figuring out what's going on that particular piece of property. Are we not in agreement there? I see Director Seidel, and that scares me. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at with that. We want to figure out what we can do over there.
Well, that was rather unusual wording there, Steve, but let's go to Vice President Seidel.
Thank you, President Farmer. The reason that I was shaking my head is that the wording for the budget line item talks about repair to the skate park, and part of that may have been a timing issue, and it was $17,000, that's correct, and there was a $3,000 for grant writer. But I don't know that, the budget line item did not describe it as budget for design of a skate park. That's the only thing I'm trying to qualify for you. And perhaps Ms. Duffield can address that for us.
I'm looking at the budget right now, and it says it was skate park repairs / design.
It does say design.
But okay. We put into the fiscal year 2021 budget. The 1920 budget was specifically repairs, but we increased the budget hoping that there would be a small amount of design money available.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
So that being said, we wanted some group to tell us what is there. There needs to be a survey there. There needs to be decisions made on that piece of property. And I believe, and I'm going to come out, that that's not the skate park people's responsibility. That's us as the CCSD's responsibility. Because even if we were going to put a skate or a soccer field and a basketball thing there, we would still need somebody to tell us if we can or cannot put anything there. So I am for the expenditure of some of that design money into somebody telling us what can be there. And if all it can be is a glorified, you know, parking lot for the vets hall, then at least we know when we can move on down the road and tell these kids what's going on. Because right now it's kind of up in the air. Mic drop.
Thank you, Steve. Director Howell.
Thank you. I'm a little, in reading this agenda item here, I've been a little puzzled as to, I would like to hear more from the PROS Commission, actually. The way I interpreted this, the way it's been presented to us in the packet seems to be an issue of asking the board for direction regarding priorities. And if that is in fact what we're being asked, and I don't know that it is, but if it is, that is actually what I would want to hear from the PROS Commission. That's why we commissioned them. I would like to hear them give us a list of what the priorities should be. I think we're going the wrong direction here. So my response to this is, I'm certainly friendly with all these ideas, but if we're being asked to prioritize these projects, then I think we need more from the PROS Commission, because I would really want to hear their recommendation. And maybe this is their recommendation, but it doesn't say that. So I want to hear their recommendation before I say anything about what their priorities should be. So that's my state. I mean, we can discuss this, and we certainly can't take a vote on any of this, but I would really want to hear more. I think the PROS Commission needs to hit the drawing boards and come back to us with, we've already in the budget item allows for the money to be spent as indicated. Now, if the commission wishes us to allow that money to be used for something else or in some other way, they need to ask us for that. And then the other thing is, I mean, these are all excellent projects. And if this is in fact the priority list, then it needs to be said, because otherwise we're kind of in the, there's only five of us here. And that's one of the reasons we've had the PROST Commission has been formed, is to parcel out some of this work, you know. So they're the ones that are responsible for trying to figure out from the community what the community's recreation and parks needs are, and what those resources are that are available, and come back to us with recommendations about that. And that's what I want to hear. Anyway, enough said.
Well, thank you for the thoughtful observations there, Don. Let me go to General Manager Weigold, because it looks like he has a very immediate comment.
Yes, thank you, President Farmer. I was just going to follow up on Director Cowell's comments, which I think are spot on. The reason this is on the agenda is to get board direction on prioritization of projects and based on PROST Commission recommendations. We need board direction because we have about a year to apply for this $177,000 loan. But to do that, not only do we have to choose a project or more, but we have to have designs completed and a contractor with finalized accepted bid already done. And we've only got a year to do that. So that's the urgency here, is to select a project that the board wants to go forward with. But keep in mind, we only have $177,000 that we're going to receive. And we can only use a portion, up to, I think, 25% toward design. So we need, that's what really we're here to discuss and get direction on. If that, I hope that shed some light on that.
All right, thank you. Thank you, General Manager Weigold. So we have a couple of members of the board that wish to comment. And then if nobody minds, we'll take some public comment. So Director Rice.
I respectfully disagree with Director Howell. This comes to us as the options for us to prioritize. It's the job of the board to set the priorities. I believe that this is coming forward from PROS via Steve, who's currently the chair. Mr. Niffen is currently the chair, so that we can say, yes, these seem like good priorities to have, or no, don't leave this one out for now. We need to push that down the road. I suspect that that's really the direction they're looking for from the board, because if the board majority doesn't want to fund or put money in the budget for a skate park or for bicycle paths, the bicycle commuter system, then there won't be any prioritizing anyway, because there's no money in the budget for it. Related to the grant, I've read the documents on the specific grant, and I'm not sure that the characterization the general manager has given is that's not my reading of it. I'm not a professional grant writer, but that wasn't my reading of it. There are grants that come up, and I know the parks grant, there's been a lot of money put out to that. With the skate park, I'm 100% behind it conceptually. Of course, all of this is at a conceptual level, because we're not even to a point where we can look at a design and go, yes, no, or we need a negative declaration for this project, or we need an EIR for this project. I mean, we're not even there yet. This is just conceptual. And I'm for the skate park. I don't necessarily think it needs to go where the current skate park is, but it can't go on the East Ranch either unless we do a whole new EIR, because the impacts of building a skate park, which does have impervious surfaces, so that's the advantage of keeping it where it is right now. It's already a paved lot, essentially, so it's already impervious there. There's a lot of projects, mini projects within the EIR, including moving the pump station that's down there. So there's a lot of things that have to be looked at with all of these things. I think moving forward to get a completed design for the restroom is a good expenditure, even if it ends up in the long run to get an actual design in hand, more than $20,000. And what we get for the $20,000 is somebody to tell us, you better make sure you consult with Fish and Wildlife on this because it's this close to the creek or whatever. And I think that's a very valuable person to have on board through a project. I'm for me, the priorities are restroom, because it's already been studied and we got off track a couple of years ago and we're getting back on track. To me, that should be first priority. Second priority immediately behind that, if it's not 1.5, is the skate park. And then the bicycle commuter, I would actually put that at 4. I don't really have, but that's my personal, and I don't know enough about it more than what's in this report to make a good opinion whether that should be a higher priority. It doesn't seem like in a community with the average age of our community that a commuter lane is necessarily more important than like safe routes to schools might be. So those are my comments on this. I'm 100% supportive of trying to do something for the skate park, and I'm 100% behind working forward on this restroom project.
Right. We have two members of the board that wish to speak, and then hopefully we can go to folks out in the public. So Director Howell.
Thank you. If I assume that the list of projects given to us is in fact in priority order, and so Mr. Niffen, you can nod your head if that is true. Okay, thank you. That was the information. I would have rather had that officially sent to us. There's no reason to be afraid, you know, to come right out and say what you want. So given the priority order that is set before us, and knowing that we can't vote on this, nevertheless, I think we can probably say how we as individual board members feel, which is of course what I think Director Rice has already done. And so I will go ahead and give my, but what I would like to see in the future coming back is an actual official list of things that PROS is working on in priority order that we can pass in the form of a motion so that they have some really concrete direction. Because as we go forward here, and Mr. Niffen here is each one of us five giving our opinion, doesn't mean that when they come back to us that, and it might be a different five. So there needs to be official action in this regard. But I definitely, I'll give you the, I accept the priority order as it is listed here. I differ with Director Rice in terms of the commuter thing, but in terms of the projects that have been set before us, community park recreation as priority one, my priority two would be the skate park. My priority three would be a bicycle commuter system, because I'm still not too old to ride a bicycle. And I would go with, and then priority four, as listed here, is the trail loop around the community park. But it isn't to say that other projects might suddenly arise, but just in terms of what's been presented to us, that is how I feel. And if this were presented as a motion, that's how I would vote.
All right. Thank you, Director Howell. Vice President Steidel, and then Director Rice, and then hopefully the public.
Thank you, President Frommer. So I'm going to ask a foolish question because I don't know the answer to it. Do we as a board or PROS, do we have any limitations on having to focus ourselves towards things to execute for the East West Ranch? So, and I will qualify that with, I'm a big supporter of the skate park also. I also believe that the skate park had been demolished because it was unsafe, and it was brought to the attention of the CCSD by the public that it was unsafe. and they had concerns and wanted it addressed. The most logical way to have addressed it because of its condition was to dismantle it. The obligation that CCSD may take on regarding the skate park, I think, is associated directly with the skate park. It isn't any fiscal responsibility in terms of expanding what that has represented in some of the suggestions. Doesn't mean to say it can't happen if there are nonprofit organizations that support that. But in terms of the CCSD, I think that the only obligation, I'll say, is to address the issue of the skate park proper. The reason I asked the first question that I did was I just don't understand. I've never pursued it and I've never had it explained to me, is if the board in PROS has some kind of implied or required requirement to focus its actions to the East-West branch before it does anything else in what would be considered open space. And I don't know if there's anyone who can answer that for me right now.
Does anybody want to make a comment with regard to Vice President Steidel?
I can sort of address it because it's related to the comment that I have. One of the things that happens every year in January and or February is PROS sends forward their annual goals for the year, which the board approves. And there's, for Director Howell, there's your specific on what projects are they working on, what priority levels do they set. And that's also an opportunity when it comes to the board, an opportunity for the board to say, no, number three needs to be number one or whatever. So there's the answer to that one. In terms of do they do the East West Ranch first? Well, it's been on their table for a really, really, really long time. And Steve might have a better answer, but I don't think the board has ever directed parks, recreation, which we also have authority for, which means like tap dancing classes and writing classes. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are included in parks, recreation, and open space. So it's not just about the open space. It's also about active recreation. It's also about having classes. It's also about ensuring that our open space is well maintained and our parks are adequate for our community. So I don't know if that answers your question, Vice President Steidel, or if Steve has anything he wants to add to that.
Well, the interest that are the reason that I expressed in the way that I did is the reason that the East West Ranch and Fiscalini Ranch exists is because of fundraising and matching funds that happened between CCSD and the county, who made a contribution to make that happen. So I didn't know if there was any legal obligation that the county passed to us as far as the recreation that would drive us towards needing to focus on East West Ranch.
So what I heard at the hearing, when I listened to the hearing from 2009 again, one of the things that was mentioned was not only the $500,000 to help to combine with the money that was raised within the community and from the American Land Conservancy. They also gave us the money to be able to do the EIR, which was about $250,000. So they're in $750,000 at the county through the Parks Fund, which is funded by development fees. When people go get a permit for a community, they figure out what you have to pay for the park fund. So those monies did come out of funds that are supposed to go to parks for county. So, and it was actually a concern raised about the fact that they reduced the size of the park, because then it doesn't meet the county's definition of a regional park, which is one of the things they were trying to get out of it for the money. So I don't think there's anything written anymore that says there's like some kind of penalty or something. You know, we all get giant check marks on our forehead or something if we don't do it. But I think for $750,000 plus the extra 20 we just got, I think we have a moral obligation to ensure we're moving forward for the investment that was made on behalf of the county.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Director Rice. Haley, if you don't mind, we have two folks in the audience who wish to make some public comments. So if you would call on them, please.
Sure. The first member of the public is Julie, and she already has herself unmuted.
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you for your time today. I had the pleasure of being on the call with Steve and his team with PROS Committee on Tuesday. It was a very effective meeting. I'd like to bring you up to date on Skate Cambria. And when we're done with this call, I'd like to encourage you all to go on to skatecambria.com. We have the Instagram and Facebook on there as well. But I want to just kind of, from the student standpoint, from our standpoint, and from getting to be as organized as we possibly can. So we're coming to you with a vision and some concrete to Director Howe, some concrete prioritization to not waste time, but to be well prepared, which is why also sitting in the waiting room is Evergreen Skate Parks. They are a comprehensive skate builder that have built parks all across the United States. I have spent time with Billy on the phone. I would love for you to ask questions of him. That's why he's here, as well as his designer, who was kind enough to give us renderings for only talking points. So it is not meant for people to go crazy going, why don't we have fencing? Why don't we have trees? What? We just need some talking points so that we can get these conversations going. I also want to talk to you about what's more than a skate park. We started the Skate Park Initiative, which is all formed by students. We've taught them about visions and missions and bylaws and the importance of their voice and how they activate that through government. You'll see them out there every Friday from 2 to 3 wearing masks, peacefully telling you that they want this skate park back. We've raised $2,500 on those Fridays just standing out in front of the park. And I can't even begin to tell you how many people come up and love what we are doing, not just for building the skate park, but for teaching these kids about how to use their voice properly. With all of that said, on the PROS meeting on Tuesday, we talked about what's going on with that piece of property. Of course, we need to understand what the piece of property is all about. It has not been properly surveyed or a record survey since 1983. So we happen to have Monty Soto on the call that day because of the bathrooms. I asked if Monty to please provide a proposal to give us an idea of what his cost would be in regards to properly surveying that. And again, to Director Rice, thank you so much for the competency of how you break things down, because it's not difficult to get somebody out there and understand what the cost is going to be and the usage of the property. His purpose is not design. His purpose is to give you a topography, understanding, obviously, you know, what its history may be, and coming back saying, okay, here's what it can be used for. It's not just about talking points. We want to push this forward, not just talk about this for 3 years. We're committed. Shara and I are extremely committed to making this happen. In addition to that, we've started a merchandise line. We've completely sold out. All the students at the high school have the press shop run by Dan Hartzell. The students are doing all our press work. So students are helping students. This is way more than the park, guys. So with that said, I have Richie in the waiting room, President Farmer, as well as Billy. Again, they are with Evergreen. Is this our builder? I'd like to think so. And I'll tell you why. They're comprehensive. It's not going into multiple different bids on multiple different contracts. But I'm going to let them better service your questions. Again, my goal in bringing them to the call was to not waste your time so that we could get farther along and not 3 months from now be talking about what about water and what about, yeah, I mean, this looks like approximately a $300,000 project. And to Steve Niffen, I know that last time we spoke, a number was thrown out and I thought it was going to give Vice President Seidel a heart attack. So I apologize. He said 300,000 to 800,000. Billy is looking at this project at the current footprint. And I'm going to actually speak to somebody out in the public. I believe it was Elizabeth saying that the rendering was the size of Cayucas. It's an aerial view rendering of the APN lot. Again, these are talking points. And to President Seidel, we're looking at about $45 a square foot. Current footprint is 6,500 square feet, $300,000. And I'll let Billy expand on what that comes with. And from there, I'm going to open up, President Farmer.
All right, Julie, thank you. You
it's my pleasure.
Thank you. We have one other person that wishes to speak, Haley. And then perhaps, you know, it seems like it's too bad this wasn't just an agenda item all by itself. So let's hear from the other member of the public, and then perhaps someone from Evergreen would like to make a brief remark to inform the public as well as the board and staff as well. So go right ahead, Haley, if you would call on the other member of the public, please.
Yep. And Claudia is ready to speak, and she's already unmuted.
Hello, everyone. Again, I was kind of hoping to wait until we hear a little bit more from Evergreen, but it'll be fine. Beautify Cambry is considering collaborating with this project. It is a beautification project the way we see it. As it's designed, the latest design has the landscaping on the back of the skate park. We need that to be involved in it. We need for that landscaping to be in the front of it. So we want it to look like a park. We want it to be a park as well as a skate area. We want it to be multi-use rather than just single use. But if that is something that you are willing to consider when the time comes, we would like to get involved. We did make a presentation to the PROS Commission at the meeting last month, and they did talk about including possibly $50,000 in a request for money to include some landscaping, at least part of the landscaping. We can't really do anything, of course, until we have it surveyed. We don't know if there needs to be a retaining wall in the back. We don't know what needs to be done. But Beautify Cambry had a meeting yesterday, and we all agreed that we would want to be part of the design in the design process. So that's our part of it right now. And if you would allow me to possibly clarify things after the presentation is done, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Claudia. So if seems like Director Rice has a comment to make, as does Vice President Steidel.
I want to thank Julie for her comments and ask Steve a question. Steve, can you do two things at one time? The restroom and the skate park, given the restrictions of money. Of course,
you know, I get frustrated just because I'm not the guy to be the lead point on the machinations of government, and I appreciate Director Howell's comments. Whereas I don't necessarily like the way they feel, I can appreciate where he's coming from. And so when he says something official, I'm like, I don't know, like a document with a gold star on it. I'm like, what is the machination? Meaning on Tuesday, we took a vote as the PROS Commission that we wanted to spend $6,500 or whatever to do the survey. So we did something. How would the CCSD know that? Who takes that to you guys? You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily in my job description to run the document over and set it on someone's desk. So when we say, hey, what are the priorities? I'm like, Christ, what do you mean the priorities? We've been working on this stuff for years, you know? And so, yes, we can do two things at once. We need to at least start pursuing them and see. And quite frankly, I'm for the skate park. The skate park is doing something. If we can do it, let's do it first and you know, use the restroom before you take your dog down there. I probably didn't answer the question.
That was kind of what I was looking for, and I would put the skate park ahead too, partially for the initial comments that Julie made about putting these kids in a position where they're understanding how their government can help them get things done, as opposed to seeing the government as not part of who they are. So, I mean, I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but I think that alone should put it above, you know, a place where you eliminate your waste.
Can I ask another question now that we're here? So if we get $17,000 for design of the skate park, are we necessarily responsible? Do we have to come back and ask you how we spend that money? Haven't you already given it to us to let us spend it the way we want it? Okay.
All right. It seems like we have a number of members of the board that wish to speak here. So Vice President Stidell, and then Director Pearson, and then Director Howell.
To Mr. Niffen's last comment, the only other thing that I'd suggest to you in that is that you interface with GM Weigold in terms of what the process would be in actually going out and asking for a quotation and defining the process of how payment would be made and what kind of construct is necessary for that, because it would have to exist to say to go out and spend the money. It's unfortunately an end result, but it doesn't address the fact that it isn't as straightforward a process as just going out and spending some money.
It doesn't work like that. I understand.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. I certainly don't mind hearing from someone from the skate park designer from Portland, Oregon, but I think also that generally there's a 3-minute limit on public comment when we're discussing things, and I would ask at least that somehow some of that be offered as an observation to whomever may be looking to make a presentation to us, because I'm not expecting a 10-minute presentation personally. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vice President Stidell. I did allow Julie to speak a little longer than 3 minutes, but it felt like the right thing to do at that time. Director, it seems like let's go with David. Go ahead and make a comment. Director Pearson.
Thank you, President Farmer. Since we have two experts in procurement here, I hope they will correct me if I misstate here. Part of the issue that we have in front of us is that we can't just pick a firm and give them a contract for $300,000 to build a skate park, unfortunately. We have a time limit here of a year to get this grant. So if I may make a suggestion here as to what might make some sense for the skate park, is that we've got this $17,000 set aside and we use that to get the survey done and write an RFP for a design build contract to build the skate park and publish that RFP sometime before the end of the year, hopefully, and get 3 or 4 proposals from design build skate park people, which Julie tells me is what generally happens with those places, that you don't hire a design firm and then you hire a contractor. They do the whole thing at once and it's all together. So we would get competitive pricing and on the entire project and the entire design, and that would satisfy the grant application. At the same time, we would be going through the same thing of design, procurement, and et cetera on the bathroom. So we would have both of those ready to go by the time that, you know, we're putting in this grant application and getting $177,000, which would go towards one, both, or whatever we decide at that point. Allowing the skate park then to move forward more quickly than if we said, okay, by the procurement rules, we have to go get a design, then we have to, well, first we have to pick a designer, right? That takes 3 or 4 months. Then we have to go and we have to put that design out for bids after it's designed, which would take a couple of months. Then we go ahead and get bids back. You know, this is the long process that we can circumvent somewhat by doing the design build process and getting these proposals done. And I think we have the $17,000. We just need to let the pros and the staff know that what we think is the best idea is for them to use that money for an RFP for design and build of a skate park and move forward from there. I think I covered all my points that I wanted to make there. Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, David. Director Howell, and then Director Rice, and then we'll maybe get a comment or two from the folks from Evergreen. So go right ahead, Don. Need to unmute yourself, Don.
Sorry, there we are. Yeah, I think going from what Director Pearson said, I think it sounds like a good way to go. What I'd like to have us do, and I'd like to have it come back as soon as possible on another agenda, is something that we can actually vote on, specifically that we direct PROS to pursue a skate park, basically to take the wording of Director Pearson, put it in a motion and have it voted on so that PROS has clear direction and that that the board commits to, because if we go forward asking for a certain kind of grant, it tends, and then we accept such a grant, that is a commitment to do certain things. This board needs to take an official action in that regard. So I think possibly as soon as possible, it could be on a consent agenda, but it needs to be voted on so that PROS has clear direction.
Mr. Carmel.
Tim, I see that. Tim, go right ahead.
I just wanted to point out that we did structure this for action. It's discussion and consideration regarding PROS project recommendations. So you do have the ability, if you wanted to do it today, you could do it today.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Director Rice, you wish to make a comment?
I do. I do. I appreciate that Evergreen has been here and watching the meeting. I think it helps them get to know the district a little bit. And I don't necessarily need to hear from them today. Hearing the comment from Mr. Carmel, I would actually move that we indicate to PROS that they should pursue the skate park, development of the skate park.
All right. Well, the Director Rice has made a motion. No. Who would like to second that?
I will.
That's Director Howell. So it looks like, David, did you wish to make a comment?
Yeah, I think I'd like a little more clarity on that. I would like to direct, I'd like to amend what Director Rice said, to add in there through the RFP and design build process so that we're giving them the right tools to go ahead and get that stuff done.
Yeah. So a more
that's fine with me to make that amendment.
I accept that.
Thank you.
That's a well-defined sense of direction. So Vice President Steidel, did you wish to make a comment before we perhaps take a vote on this?
The only other question that I would have is there appears to need to be a survey done on the property first. and should the survey be part of the RFP, not only the design to build, or are we breaking off an increment of the $17,000 to direct the survey to be done independently?
President Farmer.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I think the survey can be done separately and then made part of the RFP when it goes out. And it shouldn't take $17,000 to write an RFP for design build. I think we can probably get that done for a lot less than that. And did somebody mention that we already had a price from Mr. Soto of like $5,000 to do a extensive survey and get that done and get it out in time?
If I may be, I believe there was a quote floated this morning. It might have been $6,500, but I can assure you that our commission is supportive of getting that aspect of this project done. Regardless of what we do, it will help the community for the future.
Yeah, and I would also say that I think that RFP, including the survey, will give those people enough information that they can come back with a good proposal for us. And if the Beautify Cambria people want to participate in the writing of the RFP so that they get their information in there, that I think that's the right time to get that done.
Thank you. Thank you so much for those comments, David. Vice President Seidel?
So is there any action that we need to take as a board to go ahead and approve the survey first as a leader to the RFP being developed, or any language that says, yeah, go do the survey and it's inclusive to what the total budget is, and that it should be incorporated as part of the RFP. Is there a mechanism we need to take for that just to close the loop completely?
Not that I'm the one to answer that question in regards to the paperwork, but our commission is usually comfortable with Carlos, who is your staff, working closely with Monty in making sure that the contract reads the way that it's supposed to read. So if Carlos is happy with it, we're usually happy with it.
That's fine, as long as Carlos is actually making review of that contract with the appropriate staff members within CCSD and just not letting it on his own.
I would hope that Mr. Weigel would be involved in that process also at some level. And Ms. Duffield, obviously, I guess, yeah.
John, did you wish to react to one thumb up? Okay. All right. So I believe we have a motion and a second, and the motion was reworded by Director Pearson. So seeing no other comments here, and I. Why don't we just go ahead and take a roll call vote on this, Haley? And then, yes, Director Howell.
Could we have a restatement of the motion, please?
Yes, please.
Director Rice moved to indicate to PROS to pursue development of the skate park. Director Howell seconded the motion. Director Pearson would like to amend the motion to add to do the RFP and design build process, and Director Rice and Director Howell both accepted that amendment.
All right, thank you, Haley. So is everybody okay with us taking a vote now? All right, Haley, go right ahead.
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. General Manager Weigel, do you wish to make a comment?
I was just going to query. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not going to leave anything up to assumption. And that is that whole procedure of the RFP for developing that and any survey work required, that's all to be done within the $17,000 budget amount. Is that correct? I see some heads nodding. Okay, thank you.
You have to come back to us for more. That's all that's budgeted.
Right.
Yeah, if you need more, you can come back.
So I hope the folks from Evergreen were able to kind of view the sausage being made, so to speak, and feel feel encouraged that they'll be able to at least participate in putting in their bid for the design build of the skate park, and that'll be a cool thing. Is there anything else that we need to address with regard to item 4A? Seeing no one make any comment, perhaps we can move on to 4B then. And let me just ask, does anyone, it seems like our brains are really very active there. Do we need to take a brief break or should we just move on to 4B?
A break.
Okay, why don't we, it's 3:41, why don't we come back at 3:50 then? Thank you. There's General Manager Weigold. So let's continue on with regular business and item 4B. And General Manager Weigold, if you go ahead and introduce this item, please.
Yes, President Pearson. President Farmer. Agenda item 4B is discussion and consideration of the ad hoc committee recommendations regarding amendments to the standing committee bylaws. Staff is recommending that the board of directors discuss and consider these recommendations from the ad hoc, recommending those standing committee bylaw amendments. And I'll turn that over to Vice President Steidel and Director Rice to lead that discussion.
All right, Vice President Steidel, go right ahead.
Thank you, President Farmer. So just to give a little background to what we're taking a look at today, and you've had an opportunity to review. What was generally driving it is that the committees have existed for a little bit now and have matured over the last year in terms of the things that they're involved in and the support functions that they're providing to the board. So what we wanted to do, because there was some areas of potential inconsistency or perhaps where additional clarity would help the committees interact with each other more effectively. So when Director Rice and I began this view, and I will make a quick comment here that I really appreciated the interaction and the feedback from Director Rice in this regard, because she additionally has the experience of any number of years having been on the board, and it was definitely helpful in the conversations that we had and the review that we made for the document. But in general review, the intent was to eliminate some repetitive language in the way that it was built into the individual committee bylaws, and to identify some inconsistencies or gaps that might exist, and to fine-tune some language for clarity. And I will qualify at this point, most of it dealt with the information exactly in that way. And the only thing that I would say of any major substance that changed as far as the bylaws were concerned was the elimination of bylaw changes being able to be generated by the committees themselves and brought to the board. The way that this configured itself eventually is that there was some initial information that came to the committees as they were formed, but I think the board realized at a point that what they needed to do was provide bylaws that were consistently being addressed by all of the committees. And in fact, that's why the bylaws normally are approved by the board. So for today's review, the expectation is that there'll be some feedback and discussion of the recommended revisions that Director Rice and I have made for you. And also to convey that the ad hoc committee would like to have the board consider these changes to be passed today as is or with minor changes. By the time we review the bylaws again in January, there may be things that in review of those bylaws, we find that we'll have some flow down to the committees, but rather than trying to address them now, it seemed more appropriate that that be a part of the board bylaw reviews in January. And then whatever may fall out of that, then we can always flow down. And something else I'll point out before we get started in our conversation is that section 9 of the marked up bylaws is actually that number 9 and everything below it should not be part of this. Coincidentally, the board bylaws address committees as a numeric 9 in its making. And initially that had been put there as a reference point for Director Rice and I in just going through and doing a tick and tack and a check mechanism. And unfortunately, it also flowed from 8 in the committee bylaws, the numeric 8 onto a 9. And so, you know, it's a mea culpa. I should have recognized that and eliminated it from the review. So I apologize. And I think that once we take a look at the committee bylaw changes that have been recommended by this ad hoc, that there probably are some additional items that we'll want to discuss as potential board bylaws that we might want to review after the first of the year, that for the same reason, either for consistency or for clarity or to address things that have come to light over time that weren't considered back when they were first formulated, would be appropriate to take a look at. So Director Rice, is there anything additionally you'd like to add before we start getting feedback from the rest of the board?
Amanda, if you'd unmute yourself, please.
She's unmuted, so I'm not sure what the...
I didn't have my microphone plugged in appropriately. I had to use different equipment today. I just want to say thank you for making that presentation. I hope it was clear, and also thank you for working with me on this committee. Nice compliment that you gave me. This was, I think, one of the most fun committee assignments that I've had in a while. And part of that is because Vice President Steidel and I both had the same conception of what it was that the board had asked the ad hoc committee to bring back. And I think that is what we've brought back. The one thing that maybe that I want to point out also is that section 1, although it was significantly restructured to the point where we just decided delete the entire section 1 and replace it with similar phrasing, wording for everything, that's why it's so much red at the very beginning, because we restructured that section 1. There's still some language that may need some jiggling, but one of the things that I wanted to say that isn't in this yet, but we might want to add, is in the board bylaws, it says they're supposed to be reviewed every year, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Carmel, on that. And these don't say that. So maybe we need to have a mechanism to build in that either annual or biennial or however frequently we want to have them reviewed. But the idea is, if we can get these passed as is today, and then take a deep dive if there's other things that need to be changed when we do a review. And I'm because Director Howell and Vice President Steidel are not up for election and will be here in January. I got my fingers crossed. I don't see any reason why Mr. Weigold wouldn't also still be here, so that this first year, even though there isn't a written, we need to review this every year or every 2 years, that we can add that when we come back to it in when the board comes back to it in January.
Thank you very much, Director Rice. Do any other members of the board wish to make any comments on this particular item? Go right ahead, Director Howell.
Yes. In general, I this is great. I'm very pleased, and thank you, Director Steidel and Director Rice, for the hard work here. I really have no objection at all to what's being done. I did have some conversations, however. There are two very small changes that I would appreciate in this particular edition. But and I do understand that this is a work. The committees themselves are works in progress. So we're learning as we go, and this represents the next cut, and it's a good one, and I think it'll help everybody, including the committees, to a little bit more clarity as to what their charge is. The two changes I'd make, which I'd actually already discussed with Director Rice, are. In 1.6, to add after assignment of a policy number, to put something about format as well, so that all of the policies will in the manual will have a similar format. So the policy committee does not review the content that of the policies that are sent, but in terms of the format and the presentation. That's because they're the ones that are developing the policy manual. They need to have the freedom to possibly renumber things, not change anything, but just as to how it is presented, and possibly also supplying headings if headings need to be, which would not necessarily be part of the text. So I don't remember what wording I had used, but something to the effect of policy number and format or something to that word, words to that effect. So that would be one change. And the only other change that I would like to see has to do with the parliamentary authority, wherever it went.
Number 7.
Thank you. Number 7, yes. Mainly what I'd like to see here is wording more similar to what we have in the board policy, where we include words that Robert's Rules of Order 11th edition will be used in cases where Rosenberg is silent. Basically take say again, please.
So you're saying just to take the that phrase about where Rosenberg is silent, add the Robert Rules of Order. You're muted.
Sorry about that. Yeah, and the reason for that, just if anyone's wondering, we very seldom ever have to refer to Robert's Rules, but there are times where Rosenberg simply doesn't give guidance. And in particular, when you get into contentious situations, I think it's very important that the rules of order be very clearly defined. So that would be my argument for that. Those are the only two changes that I would ask for. I think it's an excellent job, and it's actually an improvement to what was there before. So congratulations. Thank you for both of you for that. It must have been kind of working through.
Did you say Robert's 11th edition?
Yeah, it should be 11th. Or you could just say, why don't we do this? So you won't have to change it again. The current edition of Robert's Rules.
Okay.
Yeah. It's already about 2 inches thick. I shudder to think what it'll look like in another 5 years, but.
And Rosenberg will get shorter, I'm sure.
You know, with age, we all tend to get a little bit shorter, so that's a distinct possibility. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Trying to add a little humor.
Vice President Steidel, do you want to go through line by line on these changes? How does the board feeling on this?
Well, considering how, I'll certainly ask the other members of the board. We seem to have had some consideration of information from Director Howell for feedback. Director Pearson or President Farmer, do either of you have anything that you would like to add as far as the bylaws as they've been presented and suggested for change?
Personally, I do not. I think it's a fine job, well done. And I think Director Howell's two amendments are fine with me, so I think we can move ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say the same. And so are we going to make those brief amendments today before we vote on this, Don? And the ad hoc?
I'd like to. Is there any public comment?
Not that I can see.
Then I would move that we approve the committee bylaws as amended in this draft and in 1.6, add the words and formatting after policy number. And on item 7, add after the words newly revised, the current edition of Robert's Rules of Order, where Rosenberg's is silent.
Yes,
Mr. Carmel.
To change to 1.6, did you want to say and review of format?
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. Vice President Steidel?
Well, let me give you, may I interrupt? Let me give you my intention and then we can. They may not come to us formatted, or they may be formatted in a way which doesn't comport with the rest of the manual. The numbering scheme, for example. Usually when the policies are discussed, they're done sort of in outline form. Normally there would be no change except changes to, what I wanted to say is no material change to what is presented. That was the point. But that formatting to for uniformity and ease of access would be the issue. I don't know, Tim, does that clarify? Or I think you raised a good question.
I didn't think it made sense if you just said and format, because it says shall be referred to that committee for assignment of a policy number. And what I thought I heard was and format.
Well, how about and formatting as necessary?
Excuse me, Tim, are you going to
the changes after the words policy number in 1.6 and formatting as appropriate.
I think it still needs the word review, or it doesn't make sense.
Parallel construction. I missed it entirely. Thank you, Mr. Carmel.
Occasionally I do something right.
More than occasionally, sir. Made the motion. Did anybody second?
Oh.
I will second that.
All right, Haley, do you need some you probably have more clarity on this than those of us here, but Haley, do you have the motion ready to read?
I do.
Thank you.
Director Rice, move to approve the committee bylaws as amended in the draft, and in section 1.6, add the words and review formatting as appropriate after the policy number. And item 7, add after newly revised the current edition of Robert's Rules of Orders where Rosenbergs are silent, and David Pearson seconded the motion.
Oh, pretty awesome, Haley. Thank you so much. So why don't you make a roll call vote, please?
Director Rice?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Howe?
Aye.
Vice President Seidel?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Thank you, Haley. So moving on,
President Farmer.
Yes,
I just wanted to. I did forget one thing, which was I really want to thank all of the members of the committees who worked on the initial set of bylaws, because we could not have come to this point without their help. We just would not have been able to do it. So I did not want to leave out thanking them. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that I just want to make this comment, considering that there were no committees when we had an election almost 4 years ago, and we've moved to this point with the major contributions that they make. It's pretty awesome. So, all right, thank you. And thank you, Director Rice, for your comment. So moving on to item 4C.
President Farmer, I'm sorry, yeah. I apologize for interrupting. It was just that as a completion, as we've already taken the action that was required by the agenda item. But before we leave this, I just wanted to leave people with some thoughts about the January review of the board bylaws, because I think it's important for us to start thinking in terms of some of the things we may want to consider. The board, well, one of the bylaws indicates that every 2 years there should be a review of the assigned committee members. And we don't have a process for that. We don't know what that looks like. Does it mean, do we ask everyone if they want to continue for another year? And these are in the board bylaws. And it's mentioned in the committee bylaws also, but we need to start with the board in terms of how it's directed. So I would like to put out that we need to probably consider if there's a process that needs to be established for that. Then I also would suggest that the board discuss and reach a consensus of how requests are passed to the committees. I think that we would serve our committees, these committees, much better if we were very conscious of the things that we pass to them as a board. And in fact, if there's something that we could provide to them in terms of construct of what it was that needed to be reviewed or taken a look at, I think that there'd be a lot of added value to that, and perhaps would reduce the amount of frustration that the committees experience sometimes.
If I can tag on to that end,
yeah, certainly.
If you don't mind. And of course, I lost my train of thought. You were just talking, can you just remind me what you were just
talking about? Certainly was talking about the board being more formalized in its process and the way to the committee and what their expectations were.
Yes. So one of the ways that you could do that, and again, Mr. Carmel, please correct me if I'm wrong, is to put something into the bylaws, or even just into this is how we pass things along as like kind of tradition, but it's best to have it in writing, to where we have you make a motion. The bylaws for the board say if you're not president or vice president, if you want something on a future agenda, you make a motion, somebody makes a second, and then you have a vote during the future agenda items part of the agenda. So if we put something in that only by that committees should only be studying things by motion of the board, a majority of the board, that then could give better clarity and a much more formal track, in a way, tracking process, because we will have made motions. Now, I don't know how much that complicates things for creating staff reports and such, and that'll have to be looked at, but that is one mechanism that could be used so that it's very clear about what a board majority wants a committee to have assigned to it.
That's the cleanest approach.
I know when I was on the board in the first term, I couldn't get anything onto the agenda unless I brought it up during future agenda items and I got a majority vote. It didn't go on the agenda. Sometimes it didn't even go on the agenda when it did get a majority vote, but that's why that mechanism just occurred to me. And I'm sure Mr. Carmel could suggest some other ways to do it, but as he just said, that's the cleanest way.
That was all that I had wanted to say, President Farmer. It's just that there's some things there for consideration for the board when we get around to January and start taking a look at the board bylaws. Thank you. And thank you all for the time and effort that you spent in reviewing these and giving us the result of being able to move forward on it today. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Thank you both, by the way, for your work on this, on that particular item. So moving on now to item 4C and General Manager Weigel.
Yes, President Farmer. Agenda item 4C is discussion and consideration to adopt resolution 48-2020 regarding the local state of emergency declaration. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider adoption of resolution 48-2020, declaring a continued local state of emergency in the CCSD due to the coronavirus pandemic. In our billing cycle information, we don't yet have the July-August late payment information, as payments aren't due until the 13th. So we'll may have that some of that information orally next week, but it generally takes a few days to gather some of that information together, pending your questions.
All right. Anyone on the board wish to add to what's here? Yes, Director Rice.
I don't know if there's any direct impacts or that you can report of COVID on the district operations. Like I said, I don't know what you can report because of health privacy laws and stuff, but this emergency is much more like a drought than a fire. It's a slow moving long-term emergency that, when we said, let's bring it back every month, we didn't know how many months that might be. We still don't really know. So I don't know if you have any comment that you would like to make about having the resolution or how COVID might be impacting the district.
Sure. I was just going to add, in fact, as you were bringing it up, Director Rice. So we've been obviously tracking all costs associated with COVID and our due to our operations, et cetera, and emergency leave for those sort of things. So our costs are just over, I think, about $60,000 right now. And finance manager can correct me if I'm a little off. But we have had ongoing discussions with FEMA. And typically what this motion has really helped with is given me some authorization on recovering some of those costs because of this declaration. It looks like we're going to, I don't want to quote a number right now because that's dangerous in CCSD, but, it looks like we're going to recover over $10,000 at least on this first go round, which is great. We in that $60,000 calculation, we were pretty liberal as far as what we included in that list. If it had anything and anything to do with COVID, we threw it on there. And obviously, FEMA's not there to reimburse everything. They just don't have that sort of money in their budget. But this has been directly helpful in that regard, in recovering those costs. And I don't, Pam, if you have anything to add, you know, please jump in there.
Sure. So really what FEMA is allowing us to recover is related to personal protective equipment, mostly any other costs that we have outside of that scope. They're at this point probably not going to cover it. We're still asking, but you know, we'll see if they decide to cover it or not. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Duffield. So do we have any further discussion on this item, or would someone like to make a motion to approve?
I will make a motion to approve.
All right. Thank you. Director Howell?
A motion is, I will second that, but I also would like to say something. since a motion is on the floor, this is really... I'm just only going to briefly mention, and I think as we go to future agenda items, I'll bring it up again in more detail. At some point, this ceases to be the kind of emergency which requires all kinds of powers. I would really like to hear from staff a report indicating what powers specifically are required to meet this particular situation, and I'll talk about that more when we get into future agenda items. But no, I definitely second the motion here.
Thank you. Thank you, Director House. So Haley, if you could go ahead and take a roll call vote, please. Read the motion first. Haley?
Sorry about that. I was trying to unmute myself and turn on my camera. Vice President Steidel?
Aye.
Director Howell? Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Rice?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. So let's move on to future agenda items. And Director Howell, you wish to make at least one comment?
Oh, thank you. Yes, what I'd like to have coming at some point, because I know that we would like this COVID situation to be over, but I don't see it being over for a long time. Much as we would like it, and much as we are nostalgically wish for normalcy, which isn't even a word, much as we would like that, it's not, in my view, it's not going to happen. Or if it does, it's going to be a long time in coming. Now, there are items in our various policies having to do with the emergency powers that the general manager assumes. I would like to, at some point, to have a review of those powers as it relates specifically to the problems of dealing with this particular emergency. Because I would say that after 6 months or so, it's less an emergency and more the way things are. And there may be issues where maybe additional powers are required, which are not specified. And there may be powers which are specified, which perhaps are not necessary. I really think that this board needs to review this and perhaps craft a resolution that not only declares an emergency, but may actually list what those powers are. I would like to see that, because right now what we have basically done is a carte blanche. It's the same kind of powers that the management of the district would have in the event that we had a flood, in the event that we lost lift stations, in the event, you know, many things which do require Jedi powers. I'm not sure that the COVID situation is something that requires Jedi powers. And I would like to hear from staff, considering that this could go on for at least another 18 months, that I would like to see some writing that so that we can be specific as to the special powers that we're granting each month. I know that for FEMA, we have to have the emergency, but nevertheless, I think there are emergencies and there are emergencies. My house burning down is one emergency. A diagnosis of liver disease might be another, but those are different. and they sometimes have to be treated differently. So that would be my, I would like this in some future agenda, not too far in the future, if we could. So there I am on that one. Thank you.
I second that.
Thank you, Don. I also want to make mention of the fact that right now, the agenda for November 12th, there's no regular business item. The only item on that agenda is the PROS Commission report. So perhaps at next week's meeting on the 15th, we might take a vote on just having one meeting next month, which I believe would be on the 19th. So I just wanted to bring that up now.
So, President Farmer?
Yes.
You could probably touch base with Ms. Duffield and ask her what her target date is for bringing forward the first quarter budget review.
We've scheduled that for the 19th.
Okay, thank you.
I requested that to be added to the agenda yesterday.
Thank you.
And how about the audit?
We won't have the audit. Oh, well, I don't know. It's possible. We don't have the draft of the report yet, so I don't know if we'll have time. We'd have to get it to the Finance Committee the end of October, and I don't know if we would make that deadline. So.
And we can probably reassess that and see what the timing is and reassess that as an impact for the first meeting. When we have our second meeting this month.
All right. Are we, seems like we're finished. I want to thank the board for, what could I say? It seemed like obviously an item four, I think it was four A, there was a lot of discussion and it was all very valuable. You know, not just the comments, let's say, from the public, but especially the board, and a lot got accomplished in that regard. And so thank you so much. So everybody have, Director Rice?
I wanted to thank you, President Farmer, for keeping the meeting on target and on time. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to do was have to extend the meeting at 5 o'clock and take a vote on that. It's a joke. It was a joke. So thank you, everyone. And everybody on staff and also people that attended, take good care. Give thanks for this wonderful weather that we're having. Mother Nature loves the fog and the cooler weather right now. And say a prayer for the folks that are dealing with the fires. But above all, stay safe, be well, wear a mask when needed, and much love. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.